The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It is the APC podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation talking Green Bay Packers. Used to say all off season long, but it is somehow amazingly technically not the off season. I am Zach Rapport on a very blustery day in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So if you hear wind in the background, it is because my house is in danger of being toppled by some kind of crazy, like 60 mile an hour gusts. It's been crazy, but we're not going to talk about the weather as we probably have in the past few weeks. We are going to talk about the Green Bay Packers. They got a roster. They got a game coming up. There's a lot to look forward to and to get into all that. I am joined once again, hiding out in Wisconsin, joined by Alex Patakis. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, doing pretty good. Got a nice weekend in that I felt was very Wisconsin-y. Checked all the boxes there.
Saw you floating on a river.
Yeah, I was in like this little lake. It was calm. I kayaked for the first ever time. I'm not an outdoorsman, which probably doesn't surprise you very much. But yeah, I did a little of that. Did a paddleboarding experiment. It was good.
Kayaking is a very relaxing activity I've found on calm waters. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, actually. I'd like to do it again as long as the conditions are similar. I don't think I could do any water that's not basically still.
Yeah, same. That's about the stress level I can handle, I think, in a kayak. I know, pretty low stakes.
Yeah, I don't want my like leisure activities to be work. You know, so if it's calm, that's nice. But people who like to kayak for a challenge, it's like, I don't know, why volunteer for that? Yeah. I was thinking that the whole time I was doing this, I was like, if this were any harder, I would be so miserable.
I have a friend out here who it seems what he does for relaxing is to do things like, oh, I'm going to go on like a 46 mile bike ride in the 100 degree heat. And I'm like, cool. Well, I'll be here when you get back. With some beer. So
yeah, exactly.
Really quickly, no Ben Foldy today. You know, COVID times, crazy times. He will be back on the show, I promise, but just not quite yet. Alex, you think we can handle it without him?
I think we could kick this season off.
Muddle through. All right, guys, follow us at the APC Pod on Twitter. Subscribe, hit that 5-star review doohickey. If you want to play the free listener pick'em league with a goofy little prize at the end, get at us on Twitter at the APC Pod. Send us a message or email us theapcpodcast@gmail.com. There is still time to join the pick'em league. And we are back to our regular season form here. So we're going to do two shows this week. In a couple days, we are set to talk to our buddy Arif Hassan, who covers the Vikings over at The Athletic, to preview the week one matchup against the Minnesota Vikings. So the season is here. The roster is here. And that is where I wanted to start, Alex, with you. Roster cut down weekend happened with, of course, no preseason games and very little intel for us on the fan side. Not really a ton of surprises. I'll say this first, some notable sort of practice squad names. So people who were cut, have been retained on the practice squad: wide receiver Reggie Begelton and wide receiver Darius Shepherd, tight end John Lovett, who might be a guy, and we'll get into who qualifies to be a guy later. Center Jake Hansen, and offensive lineman Alex Light. So those are some names that you probably recognize back on the practice squad, but the following name calls for a little royalty-free sad piano music. And here it comes. Touchdown Jesus. We only knew you for a couple, 2-3 years there, but they were a good time. And, you know, it's just time to part ways with Jake Kumerow, who was cut from the team, and friend of show Justice Mosqueda and I were talking a bit after that happened. Maybe he would get on the practice squad, but the Bills scoop him up. Alex, it's a sad day in Packer Nation. Jake Kumerow no longer a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, sad day. Sad day for Aaron Rodgers, too, I guess, when it happened. He loses yet another football IQ guy that he loves. But, you know, I'll miss his hair. I'll miss his laugh. I'll miss his smile. I'll miss the joy he brought so many who need someone who looks like him to root for. But, yeah, I mean, what else is there to say? On to the next, yeah. I guess. He'll have fun in Buffalo. Yeah.
Oh, you touched on, you've talked about this before, though, the idea of Aaron Rodgers communicating publicly his like for certain guys. And I feel like in the past you've come down on the side of let's give Aaron Rodgers some of the guys that he likes. Other people I know are vehemently on the other side of that fence, which is no, this is all GM and coach stuff. Are you still fall on that same side?
I mean, I think it really depends on the player too, right? So when Rodgers is vouching for, I don't know, someone like Julius Peppers or something, or Charles Woodson, you know, guys like who are future Hall of Famers, it's one thing. Yeah, it was pretty clear that Jake Kumerow wasn't that. I mean, it doesn't feel like a move that matters that much to me, you know, and I think we're kind of beyond, I think we're kind of beyond the, like, we need to appease Aaron Rodgers phase now. Like, we just need to do whatever we can to be good enough while he's here. But also, like, it's a new regime. It's a new coach. It's clearly a new offense that has a very different philosophy. So from that regard, I understand Rodgers having a little bit less of a say, where before he was, like, so entrenched in everything that was, like, the Ted Thompson era, the Mike McCarthy era. You know, he was that. Like, he ushered that in himself alongside, you know, McCarthy and Thompson. So it's a bit different, I guess. And also, he doesn't have as much leverage. Like, now he's at a point where if he wants to play quarterback for the Packers into his 40s, like he said, he kind of has to just, like, fall in line a little, you know, or just be so great that they have no choice but to cater to him. But that hasn't been the case in the past few seasons.
Yeah. The only other surprise, sort of wrapping up sort of this cut down rundown, you mentioned this in sort of our pre-show back and forth, but all but one draft choice made it, and there were no UDFAs, no undrafted free agent rookies who made the team. And apparently that's the first time since 2004 that that's happened with the Packers. Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And I think this is happening with a lot of teams. And I think that, honestly, it's probably the first time in a while for a lot of teams, too, because, you know, undrafted free agents a lot of times have, in a normal circumstance, you know, months and games to prove themselves. And those guys also, like, play more in the preseason, you know, more than a lot of other guys. So, like, they even have more opportunities to make plays a lot of other times. But for the Packers, it's like, you know, I think one of the staples of Ted Thompson as a general manager was that, you know, like, we always, almost every year, we felt like we had an undrafted free agent who would come into camp and, you know, just, like, dazzle people and then make the team and honestly have a chance to play a lot. You know, it's happened at the defensive back position quite a bit. So it is a little bit surprising, I think, from that regard. But then when you zoom out and you realize, again, COVID times, I guess that's just how the cookie crumbles, I guess you could say, right? This offseason, like, we knew going in that rookies would be at a disadvantage. You know, when a team hasn't necessarily spent draft capital on you, it already says something, I think, about, you know, the perception of you, especially like a late round draft pick. So, I mean, you would have to be like out of this world, it almost feels like, to show up to camp and in the span, how many practices, wasn't it like 14 days or something, like 14 practices or whatever? I forget. 12 maybe. To show enough in that time to make a team seems almost impossible.
Yeah.
So, but it's crazy, you know? I mean, that's like the impact that's going to be felt around the league. And it's the same for like late round draft choices. Like these guys are at a huge, huge disadvantage given how little football there's been, you know?
And the Packers historically over the last, you know, 10, 20 years even, relied on a lot of young UDFA talent to come into camp and shine. And one of the metrics that sort of show that is the average age of the team. There's always a list of like who's on average the oldest or the youngest team. So if I can set up some trivia for you, Alex, this year compared to last year, do you think that the Packers are older or younger than last year?
I feel like this has to be a trick. I mean, I guess I would just, again, without the setup, and if you just like wrote that question down and texted it to me, I'd be like, oh, they're older. But how big is the discrepancy?
It is a trick. There is no discrepancy. They are the exact same age this year as they were last year. 25.5 years old is the average age on the Packers.
Really?
Yes, which is tied for fifth youngest in the league this year. And I mean, you know, COVID or not, they've actually been remarkably consistent dating all the way back to 2016. So starting in 2016, 25.4, 25.7, 25.7, 25.5, and 25.5. That's crazy.
Do you have? Yeah, that's really crazy. Actually, the way roster turnover and stuff in this league works, and the way that the Packers like to like develop guys and keep them. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. Damn. So I actually, you know, so does that scare you at all? I mean, like just going back to what we were talking about like these guys being like late round draft picks and UDFAs being disadvantaged. My big worry with that, and being on the younger side of the spectrum in the NFL is that the Packers' injury luck was so great last year, and that if that doesn't happen again, like that if you get to one of those situations, and I feel like this has happened in years past, especially for Green Bay, where like by week six, all of a sudden you have a laundry list of injured guys. You have guys who have still been, you know, playing NFL football for less than like 3 months that are going to have to step in right away. And I understand they expanded the rosters and things like that. But again, I guess everybody's in the same boat, right?
Yeah, like, and I almost think it's a little bit of a mischaracterization. Like, I'm actually not worried because when you sort of tee it up and say, like, oh, you know, for the first time since 2004, no UDFA rookies made it, and of course, with my trivia question, it makes it seem like, oh, this is, you know, a couple young guys who haven't had any snaps, and then a bunch of old guys, which is not the case. And in fact, there's plenty of players, I think, on the team who actually, they would have fallen into that category last year and they stuck around. So UDFAs, practice squad guys, late round draft picks who've been in the system for a year or two. And we'll get to some of those names a little bit later. But yeah, so I think it's maybe a little bit of a mischaracterization. I mean, even a guy like Alan Lazard was a practice squad guy last year. Actually didn't make the 53 last year.
That's pretty, actually, yeah, like that's pretty shocking given, you know, the way that I guess the role he's expected to play this year, right? Like that happened pretty fast.
All right, let's move on to the right tackle position. We're not going to get into the nuances here because, as we often say, we're not super qualified to talk about offensive line play, but position battles, I feel like we definitely can touch on that. And Billy Turner seems to have beaten out Rick Wagner, but Turner also appears to be a possible scratch for week one with an injury. So perhaps Wagner will get the nod, or maybe they'll shuffle some guys. It's a big question mark right now, but historically the Packers have done well hitting on a pipeline of capable linemen, just sort of pumping them through the system. But Alex, I mean, doesn't it feel a little weird to be sort of this unsettled on the right side of the line heading into a game that counts?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think so. And especially given who the opponent is and the importance of that game. That's, you know, if there's any consistency year over year for their defensive line. And again, I think Danielle Hunter and, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, like those making that acquisition that gives them like two very prominent pass rushers. So it's unsettling from that regard. And like we're used to, I mean, Bilal has been here for a really, was here for a really, really long time. You feel like the left side of the offensive line is certainly from the tackle position is so settled. And it makes me nervous a little bit. I don't want to say that Rodgers' mobility is like limited. I don't know. Are we all in agreement that he's not the same exact way he used to be in terms of the way he can move
sure.
around? I think he still moves around pretty well. But it's not quite the same. And I think that given that, and the fact that this is probably the first time in a really long time you didn't feel like our right tackle is Bulaga, our left tackle is Bakhtiari, we're good there. It makes me a little nervous. Yeah. The interior line was a question mark last year, but the acquisitions they made proved to be incredible, right? Like that was a huge question mark going in and ended up being a huge strength for the team. But that also is a position that I think by design that they invested less in, right? Because they felt like they can get by. I don't think you can get by with a lesser investment at tackle unless you just get really lucky. Yeah. So I am nervous. Yes.
Well, and I talked a little bit with Justice Mosqueda about this. He kind of jokingly, but not so jokingly, refers to Mercedes Lewis as an extra lineman. And I think that he will be deployed there on the right side early and often to sort of bolster that side of the line as it's a little bit in flux.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point because I think that they will need some assistance there. So that could impact their scheme for the, you know, I guess maybe for the first few weeks, you know, until you feel like that's a little bit more of a steady situation there.
And it might be a little bit of a disadvantage too in so far as like maybe telegraphing what they're going to do. You know, if Mercedes Lewis is on the right side, lined up on the right side there, then it's...
Yeah, that's a good point. But you know what? I think the Packers, despite... fans even being able to telegraph what they were going to do offensively under Mike McCarthy for so long, they still managed to be like okay enough. Yeah. So maybe they could still win out despite
maybe
that
your
fact.
Boy LaFleur will surprise some folks.
Maybe he's more prone to throw in some wrinkles. Yeah. Our favorite thing.
Hashtag wrinkles. All right, let's move on. Aaron Jones is in the news again. Aaron Jones said during an NFL Network hit that the Packers are definitely, I think was the word he used, working to get a long-term deal done. And Alex, I haven't gotten your take on this on air, and I'm sure this will be a topic all year long, but where do you land on the is re-signing Aaron Jones a priority question?
Well, my take is that I don't necessarily have a firm one yet. I'm more open to being swayed like one way or the other. I understand the risk that you take in letting him play on the final year of his deal and him driving up his cost, right? But I do just wonder, like, how many people last year that were saying that Matt, like, you know, kind of hating on Matt LaFleur for not playing Aaron Jones enough, not giving him the ball enough, like not making him enough of a focal point for the offense, are also saying this year that they should not be like making this a priority. Is there consistency from year to year? Like if he was supposed to be a priority last year, is he supposed to be a priority when it comes to like the future or what? And that's more of just something that I'm like curious to know, because what's the objection, I guess, is what I'm wondering. Is it just the nature of the position, how expendable people think it is, how short the shelf life, you know, is? Is it that they still run, you know, run an offense with like a lot of running backs involved? Is it like, what is the objection?
I think that it is all of those things. The objection that I find most compelling is the idea that you can find replacement level talent for very, very cheap. Running backs are out there. I mean, there's bad ones too, but there's a lot of good ones just kind of hanging out. And our buddy Ryan Archon on the blog acmepackingcompany.com has yet another piece. he wrote one a couple weeks ago saying something similar, and he's further driving the point home here with a piece today titled "A Sensible Aaron Jones Contract Extension Does Not Exist." And he goes on to make that point that I just outlined for you, Alex, among others. But let me ask you this. You know, you talk about maybe wanting to re-sign him now to avoid the risk of him playing super well and his price tag just ballooning. What is the price tag right now, do you think? And is that price tag worth it?
Well, I guess maybe that's where I'm struggling to come fully around to the other side, and that it doesn't make sense in any situation now, is because, like, I don't really understand what his market value would be right now. You know, last year he scored a lot of touchdowns, yeah, but he still was like, you know, to me, like, this is the year where he would be taking a step into like, I still don't view him as like a nationwide like name, you know, like a guy that a lot of people know. Like, when Saquon Barkley's contract is up, or when Zeke Elliott's contract, like, that, you just, like, people all around the league, yep, in terms of fans, like, obviously people in the league are super aware of what's happening. Like, no, I still feel like Aaron Jones is a little bit of a unknown commodity. Like, you know, it's like, what is his actual value right now after one season of looking really good? Can it really be that high? Like, if the consensus around the league is that, like, if GMs are thinking that way and that there is replacement level talent out there, then wouldn't his price tag not be that high to the point where it's, like, not going to be worth it no matter what? I'm struggling with that. Like, it's hard. Like, you feel like you found a gem, late round draft pick. He's been playing for really low money. I think his first 3 years for like $500,000 or whatever it was. You know, like, a raise for him probably still, I don't know. I guess I just don't see how he would be like a player that's so expensive where everyone would hate the deal. But but based on the look you're giving me and what everyone else is saying, I feel like I'm totally wrong. I just don't get it. Like, is he really expecting like that kind of a payday?
I don't know.
Like, dude, you still split reps with Jamal Williams. He's not like, I just read today on Acme Packing Company something that I thought was really accurate. Like, he's not even your backup. He's your compliment.
Well, let me ask you this, Alex. Do you think that he should be closer to Austin Eckler money or Joe Mixon money? As I'm looking at the numbers here, so a bit of a cheat sheet.
Oh, damn. at this point, yeah, I'd probably say Eckler, honestly, yeah, as much as that pains me to say, because I really feel like he could just like explode this year. But
yeah. Eckler averaging, it looks like a little over $6 million a year. And then Joe Mixon, it jumps, it doubles, it's $12 million, and then it goes up from there.
Yeah. Well, that's just dumb though. Like, that's a bad, I don't know any reactions to that aren't like, oh boy. Yeah. And I don't think that means that the Packers like have to do, like, they're smart. We always joke about this, but they're like notoriously good with the way they negotiate these big contracts.
Yeah.
Like, they're stingy. So, I don't know. Maybe they got something up their sleeve here that puts them in a good position that satisfies all of us.
Russ Ball, the ball signal. The Russ Ball signal is in the air, and he is maybe doing his thing right now. But we will have plenty of time all season to talk about that, unless it does get done here in the next few weeks. And that might be nice too. Let's move on to a little bit of a segment that we invented, because Alex, you and I touched on this last week, but you had kind of a Seinfeldian moment talking about guys to follow and how training camp and preseason provide you with good fodder to kind of find a guy. And you gave the example of, I believe it was Irvin, who came in later, of course, but, you know, basically saying, like, you know, Irvin's an example of a guy, but he's not a new guy. He's an old guy, but he's still a guy. And that got me thinking, first of all, what is a guy? And second of all,
who knows?
Maybe we should, like, you know, now we have our roster so we can pick a guy. You know, we didn't get the preseason, but we got some names to know. So, Alex, maybe we should start and lay some ground rules for what is a guy. And of course, we're talking about not your fancy starters, not even like your veteran bubble players, but really kind of one or two, like first or second year guys, maybe. I think in our chat earlier, we said fourth round or later, maybe fifth round or later, or UDFA. What do you think?
Yeah. So I think that that's spot on. I think you sent some early guidelines of what a guy is. And a guy, to me, has to be a guy that's taken on day three of the draft. Now that is a 3-day draft. Otherwise, you're not a guy.
Yeah.
You're a player.
Yeah. Or a UDFA.
So you can't. Yes. So yeah, day three of the draft or undrafted, I think, is one. I think you have to be within under 3 years of your graduating or your entry into the league. So for instance, I think if you were, maybe we'll get to this, but like, I think there are some guys who are guys on the Packers team who have been in the league for more than a season and maybe going on to year three, but like they haven't really had a chance to break through. They've been floating around. Maybe they've been in a couple of training camps. Maybe they've got hurt. You know, they've been on IRs, practice squads, that stuff. Yeah, practice squad eligible is big, I think. Because that's also like a good determining factor.
Yeah, although that's out the window this year because everyone's eligible.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess under normal circumstances, yeah. Past guys, I think, had to be guys that they might have become a guy in training camp.
Past guys.
And then you were like, oh no, they cut my guy. But then you're like, is he going to make it through? You know, like waivers? Is he going to get claimed by someone else in their active roster? Or can my guy land on the practice squad and stay a guy? So, and then I think you get bonus points based on the school. I really believe that. Like, I think that guys are more likable when they are...
Sag Valley State.
Yeah. Okay. So a non-Division I school.
Yeah.
Huge points.
Leftern, Michigan Tech University.
Huge. Non-Power 5 conference, it's still Division I, you know. Like
on the fence.
Mountain West, if that's even still a thing. Conference USA, you know, those are a thing. Those guys can be guys.
And just to clarify for people, when we say a guy, I mean, we're really talking about those bubble players, but like a guy, someone who is, you know, an underdog who you want to root for. Maybe you read an article from like Jason Wilde or something, you learn some like cool fact about them and you just get into following them and you root for them. And I don't know, everyone needs a guy.
Totally. Everybody needs one, you know, and you don't have to have all of those things in your favor. For instance, like Sam Shield is a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But he went to Miami, huge school, but like he never did anything there and he was undrafted. So like he checked at least a box. But if you could check multiple, then you're like in looking in really good shape.
All right. So. I think we've got the ground rules down and I'd like to go first with my guy. And it's a little fuzzy, but my guy is going to be Kabian Ento, a wide receiver turned cornerback. He is actually on IR, but in order to do that, the team had to keep him on the 53. So if you tease that out a bit, you know, the Packers didn't want to risk this guy who, you know, has very little film. Is the definition of a project, really, a recovering wide receiver. They did not want to risk him getting to waivers. So they obviously are really interested in seeing more of what he can do. New COVID rules means an unlimited number of players can return from IR. So this guy may be a guy that we get to see a little bit later in the season. And all signs point to the Packers are quietly very interested in this guy, Kabian Ento.
Wow. And Zach, in saying that, you just unlocked super guy powers because there is nothing that makes somebody more guy eligible than a position change, too.
Yeah.
Don't forget, that is like a big time
hashtag project.
Yeah. Oh, people love that. Man, that's great. You just like leveled up on me there.
Who's your guy?
And also, I want to clarify, once you have a guy, he stays your guy. So like Tanyan is like still your guy.
But is Tanyan still a guy? Because is this year three?
He's not. He can't become your guy now. Yeah. You can't claim him now. But if like you had claimed him.
Gotcha.
Which we have evidence that he is in fact your guy by that amazing sounder we play. just like find a way to loop into every show. That's he can stay your guy.
All right. My guy forever.
You know. Yeah. Or, you know, it's just like a former guy, but like he's still your guy. All right. So my guy, if I had to pick a guy who like satisfies most of these things, I base this on so little, but I'm going to take the bait on Malik Taylor, and it's simply because he's the only fucking new receiver that's on this team. And I'm so desperate. And receivers are so easy to become like the person that you root for because they make a catch here or there and you're like, wow. But like just the way he made the team, granted, there wasn't a lot of competition. There wasn't a lot of new bodies in there. Clearly is he showed enough. And I think LaFleur, you know, set some lofty expectations for the fan base when he spoke about Taylor and why he made this roster, because he was a surprise. And, you know, and that also coincides with Kumerow being released. So plus, you know, Ferris State, like that's super points, not quite like the position change. But, you know, in keeping five receivers, like he could be a guy who could be around for such little time, but we also have never seen him. We didn't get all those preseason reps that make you fall in love with the guy. So I think that that's why I'm like even more excited. I'm like, well, he showed enough in such little time as a guy who easily could have been out of the league by now to make this team. And honestly, like I know he's fifth, but he's going to get an opportunity. Like, yep. And that's because of my lack of faith in the guys ahead of him, how little we've seen them and how injured they often are.
Yep.
You know? So like just by being on the opening day roster, you have a lead, right, on everybody else, and I'm excited to see. It might take weeks before we see him like actually get out there and take a rep, but from what you read and what you hear coaches say, it's a little exciting. I don't have like Donald Driver expectations, but yeah. I have. You know, at like a Geronimo Allison ceiling type expectation. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. So I'm going the long play with KB and Ento, a potential guy who's on IR, and yeah. you are going low hanging fruit, instant satisfaction with Malik Taylor, a wide receiver who has an opportunity to actually impact the game on day one.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw, I think it was Wes Hodkowitz tweeted this out, pointing out roster guys this year, guys who are on the 53 this year, who graduated from last year's practice squad. Malik Taylor is one of them. KB Anento is another one. Alan Lazard is one. Yosh Nyman and Randy Ramsey. So if anyone out there has heard our criteria, they want to do some research and find a guy, that's a list you can go off there. Alan Lazard, still young, still 2 years, but was a big contributor last year. Is he a guy? Can he be a guy, or is that like a Bob Tonyan thing where it's like he had to have already been your guy?
Yeah, I think you probably needed to claim him by now, but you still are like riding the wave. So maybe you don't even need a new guy. You know, like you could skip a year and get a guy next year because you're just seeing this one through.
Oh man, this is the best segment I think we've ever done. And on that note, I think we are going to wrap it up for the first installment of our week one, pre-week one here at the APC podcast. I am going to hit the polka. It's going to do it for us here until Thursday night. Please consider giving us a rating in Apple Podcasts. Positive rating helps us reach more people and makes us feel good too. If Patreon is your thing, you can support us there. Patreon.com/notenugs. Every dollar helps keep up with equipment costs, gear upgrades, and other resources that help us bring you this show. Patreon.com/notenugs, NOTENUGS. Still some time to join the free listener pick'em. So follow us on Twitter at the APC pod and let us know. And again, if you are a sane person, not on Twitter, email also works. theapcpodcast@gmail.com. Again, we are going to be back in just a couple days with special guest Arif Hassan to preview week one against the Minnesota Vikings. So look out for that dropping probably Thursday night. It'll be on the blog Friday morning, just in time to kick it into the weekend for the first week one. Well, I guess Thursday is technically the kickoff, but Packers fans don't care about that. So until then. Until next time, until Sunday, whatever. We made it somehow. There's football. Keep your stick on the ice, guys. Go Pack Go. Later, Alex.
See ya.